I was hoping the ushers, as they were taking up the offering, wasn't taking that as a theme for them this morning. Take the money and run. That's the Steve Miller Band. It's taking us back to 1976. It was a Billboard hit. It's off the album Fly Like an Eagle. And the song's basically about a couple of bandits that are being pursued by the law. Take the money and run. You know, it's more than a song. I think in our modern, meistic world that we live in, it's kind of a way of life. You know, we're in this series, Top 10, where we're looking at 10 rock-solid commands from God, 10 core values for successful living. And these are 10 values that should be foundational in our life. Today we're looking at the eighth command. It's a horizontal command. It has to do with our relationship with one another. And the command is, you shall not steal. You shall not steal. You can't say it any clearer than that. It's pure, it's plain, it's to the point. The command says, we shall not take anything in any way from anyone. And so I want to ask just a couple questions. You can raise your hand if you would. How many of you have had something stolen from your home before? All right, just look around you there for a minute. All right, how many of you have had something stolen from your car? At school? At the office or the workplace? I mean, how does it make you feel? Hurt? Confused? Violated? I mean, I think those are some of the feelings when someone takes something from you. Now, how many of you have stolen something before? Maybe a piece of candy when you were a kid, you know, maybe a sports car at the mall, you know. I mean... Our society knows how to steal. All you have to do is look around you at the surveillance cameras, the sensors, the security tags, the security systems. It's all an attempt to protect against theft. Every time we take something from someone else, we're saying to God, God, I know that you said you're my provider, that you're my supplier, but I'm going to do things on my own. Your rules don't apply to me. There are things that I want. I deserve them as much as the next person, and so I'm going to do what works for me. And see, I believe God knew that we would struggle on this front, that we would struggle with a spirit of wanting something for nothing. You know, the psalmist writes and says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. God owns it all. God owns your home. God owns the land. God owns your car. God owns your business. God owns absolutely everything that you have. And when we understand that, when we truly allow God to be our provider in life, when we stay within the confines of what God's provisions are, when we get a proper view of the eighth commandment, I believe when all that falls in place that we can begin to live obediently to the eighth commandment. And we've said over and over in this series, and it really just in general, whenever there's a negative in God's word, there's always a positive purpose behind it. You know, God gave us the eighth command, not to deprive us, but to protect us, to help us avoid some of the pain, some of the problems, some of the punishment that stealing brings. And so, you know, remember the children of Israel. They were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And then God delivered them through Moses. And the Israelites were out in the desert, and they're heading to the promised land. They're about to take possession of this massive real estate. So now the Israelites are going to own a lot of stuff. And God wanted to help give them some guardrails in their life, some guidelines for their life, so that they wouldn't have that desire to take something that was not theirs. You shall not steal. In fact, when you read God's word, following the Ten Commandments, chapters 21 and 22 in Exodus, God begins to clarify what he means when he says don't steal. In fact, gives detailed accounts of all kinds of different ways that people steal, and how do you make it right. And you need to remember, in that day, people's assets were commodities. You know, it was produce, it was cattle, it was livestock. And here's just a few of the things that were talked about in those two chapters. Like, if you stole your neighbor's bull and you sold it or you butchered it, when it was found out that you had done that, you owed them 5 bulls back. That's no bull, okay? So if someone was to break into your house at night and you killed them, you were not guilty of murder. So thou shalt not steal kind of trumped thou shalt not murder in that particular situation. You know, if you were traveling or you were found to have something that didn't belong to you, and even if it was in perfect condition and could be returned to the person, you had to give them twice what it was worth to the person that rightfully owned whatever it was that you possessed that wasn't yours. And scripture goes on and on and on. I mean, almost painful details. And I get the sense, as I'm reading through those chapters, that God's really serious about the 8th commandment. You know, let's get a little perspective on this command, because I think at first you kind of get the idea that you're supposed to not take, but it's just a small thing. You would think it's just about physically taking something. But there's really a deeper, more encompassing thought behind it. So if you thought this morning that you were going to be good on this command, well, hold on to your seats. We're gonna go in a little bit deeper, take a look at some of the deeper aspects of the command, you shall not steal. Now, first, and without saying, we are not to take something that's not ours. Stealing is wrong. The fact is, taking the money and run, you know, taking stuff, seizing stuff that's not our own is not acceptable. I remember the first time I stole something. I was 4 years old, and I was at my next-door neighbor's. And I have very vivid memories. I mean, if I close my eyes, I can go back through it. And I was sitting in a chair, and there was an end table right next to me. And there was a little glass dish. And in that glass dish, there was this just little ivory charm was in there. Now, it was out of a gumball machine, okay? So the value was pretty insignificant. But I kept eyeing it. I mean, I thought it was beautiful. And so when I was leaving, I grabbed it and I put it in my pocket. I took the charm and ran. I hid it in my room. I thought I had gotten away with it. I was sitting on my bed one day. I had it out. I was admiring it. And my mom walked in. My mom said, "What do you have?" "Nothing." She said, "Let me see what you have." And so I showed it to her. "Where'd you get that?" I found it. I lied, broke another command. She said, "Where'd you find it?" And my mom always had this way. She just keep digging. Jig was up here. And I remember tearing up, and finally I confessed that I had taken it from the neighbor's house. I remember mom saying how disappointed she was in me, and then I started imagining police at the door and getting and put in handcuffs, being carted off to jail. I mean, all this stuff just... My parents made me go over to the neighbor's house and tell them what I had done. And I remember I was like the dead man walking. That was the longest, loneliest walk over there by myself. And I remember climbing the steps and ringing the doorbell. And in my mind, I was like, please don't be home, you know. And when the door opened, I just burst into tears. Friends, that day left a mark on me. I never again thought twice about taking something that wasn't mine. Never thought about it. God warns us over and over in Scripture how serious this issue is, that it's significant. Now, there's a story in the Old Testament. It's kind of sobering. It's found in Joshua 7. And God explains in great detail to Joshua that they are not to take anything when they go in and take possession of the cities that they were conquering. And they go into Jericho. And God said, you're not to take anything there. And the fact is, they were to take the things that they got there and take them to the temple. And so everybody signed off on this agreement. I mean, Joshua signed off on it. The top commander signed off on it. The entire Israelite army signed off of it. Collectively, they said, we will not steal from you, God. It's all yours. And there was a guy named Achan that he had the desire to acquire, and it so dominated him that he secretly took some spoils from that city, and he buried him in his tent. Because of Achan's sin, the entire Israelite army would suffer a humiliating defeat when they went into their next battle. And so the Israelites are trying to figure out, why did we lose this battle? What's going on, God? And finally it comes out that Achan had sinned and that he had taken. And check out Achan's confession here. It says, Achan replied, it's true. I've sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. Among the plunders, I saw a beautiful robe from Babylon, 200 silver coins and a bar of gold weighing more than a pound. I wanted them so much that I took them. They're hidden in the ground beneath my tent with the silver buried deeper than the rest. So Achan, because he took all that stuff, Israel gets defeated in battle. People die. Israelites, they respond to Achan's sin. They kill him. In fact, they not only killed him, they killed his entire family. And here's what Achan failed to realize in that. If he had only waited, if he'd have kept his desire to acquire, if he'd have kept it in check and not disobeyed God, if he'd have trusted God to provide for him, the blessings were right around the corner in his life. In fact, the next battle that they would go into, God says, you get to keep everything this time. If Achan would have just waited, he would have been a wealthy man. His family would have been set, maybe set for life. But Achan got ahead of God's plan. He decides he's going to forego God's rules, and it costs him dearly. In fact, it costs him everything. You know, we are in a culture And we tend to think that there's like degrees of stealing, don't we? Like stealing, it's like stealing on a curve. For example, you steal a piece of candy from the store. That's like a one. But a bank heist, that's like a 10. And friends, I want to tell you today, God doesn't care if it's a candy heist or a bank heist. It's all theft. It's all stealing in God's economy. I mean, you taking anything that doesn't belong to you? You know, corporations, they need high-tech security today. Big, big business. And the greatest security issue is not those outside. I mean, sure, people come in, they shoplift, and they steal and take things. But the major problem today in our society is theft from the inside. You know, employees become the greatest theft or the greatest threat, the greatest problem. I mean, it's, oh, they won't miss it. They make tons of money. Tons of money. I should make more money. I mean, look at my paycheck. This is just payback. I deserve this. It's breaking the eighth command, taking something that's not yours. There's kind of another angle on the eighth command, a little more subtle, I guess, and that's withholding something from someone that's rightfully theirs. You know, the fact is there's more than one way to steal. And we're really sly about this. We steal from our employers. Come in late, leave early. I mean, we steal from our employers when we spend a lot of time texting at work or surfing websites or checking Facebook stuff or playing games or shopping online. The fact is, we are paid for X amount of hours. You're stealing if you don't work X amount of hours. I mean, we steal when we pad our expense account, when we log more miles than we actually drive. You know, I could go on and on and on with things. We think we're sly, though, don't we? In fact, right now, some of you, the Holy Spirit's kind of pressing you. I mean, this is tough stuff. We also steal from our friends, family, from this nation. You know, when we withhold things, we have them in our possession for so long that we actually think they're ours. You know, we think they belong to us. You know, we're stealing when we withhold child support. Oh, my ex doesn't need it. They don't deserve it. You know, we're stealing when we don't declare all of our income. Oh, you know, tax rates are too high. I don't approve of the way the government's going to spend my money. I mean, we steal when we secure a loan and we have no intention of paying it back. You know, we steal when we borrow money from family or friends and then we conveniently forget that we owe that money back. And friends, it would be humorous if it wasn't so sad. I mean, all the excuses for breaking the eighth commandment that we come up with. I mean, if you track back in Genesis, the first recorded excuse in Scripture occurs when Adam and Eve decide they're going to steal some produce. God said, stay away from that tree, do not touch that tree, do not take anything off of that tree. And they took it. God asked Adam and Eve, why'd you do this? Why'd you steal my fruit? Why'd you do it? And I love it because Eve blames the serpent, and then Adam blames Eve. And it's really comical if you read Scripture because he goes, well, God, the woman that you made me, if you hadn't made her, we wouldn't be in this situation right now, God. So actually, he's kind of insinuating it's God's fault that he took the fruit. And friends, we've been blaming anything and everything ever since that day. Take the money and blame. It's their fault. They left it on the bench. Finders, keepers, losers, weepers. The clerk thought it was a $50 bill. It was a $20. They should have been paying more attention. Take the money and run. And when we don't blame, well, we justify, don't we? It's not really stealing. I just copied a few songs. And besides, my friend bought them. So they own them, so I just borrowed them. So I lied about the kids' ages. I'm trying to save a few bucks at the theater. It's really not stealing. Yes, it is. You take the money and you run. You're withholding a payment that's rightfully due. You know, frivolous insurance claims, ludicrous lawsuits. Oh, it's not stealing? Yes, it is. It is. You peel back the excuses, you strip out the justification, and it's stealing. And we know how to do it. We know how to do it. There's another aspect to stealing. It's when we deceive someone with a falsehood so that we can gain something. It's very sophisticated. It's very popular in our society. In fact, you can hardly watch the news these days without some story about deception or some scam out there that's taken things to some new disgusting level. You know, Scripture says, Proverbs says, he's talking about God. God despises dishonesty in business. False weights, deceptive scales are all wrong. 3,500 years ago, people were messing around with these dishonest scales. They were using deceit to cheat. 3,500 years later, people are still doing the same thing. You know, it's the person that sells one thing but delivers something else that's substandard. You know, it's the doctor that says you need this procedure when you don't need the procedure. You know, it's the mechanic that says you have to replace this now, and when in reality you got plenty of time to deal with it. You know, it's the person that lies, that leaves out information, that exaggerates in order to close the deal. Sin is so destructive. And cheating hurts. Hurts the heart. Hurts the heart. It hurts your heart. Hurts other people's hearts. And it hurts God's heart. And God says, just don't go there. Just don't go there. A while back, I was in line. I was waiting to check out. And there were several young people behind me. And I'm getting terrible. Everybody's young these days when I see them, right? But I'm guessing like high school age. They could have been early college. But I hear them talking about school. And one of the boys is talking. He says, you know, I cheated my way all the way through that test. And he was telling how he'd done it and everything. And they're cutting up and they're high-fiving and they're laughing about it. And so I'm checking out. And I got done. And I don't know why, because I usually don't do this. But I kind of hung around a little bit. The boys paid for their stuff, and they're cruising around me, you know. And the boy that had been talking about cheating, he's right next to me. And I go, hey, can I ask you something? Why'd you cheat on the exam? He gave me a couple excuses, and I think he could tell by my face that I wasn't buying his excuses. And then he says, I know I shouldn't have. He says, it's been kind of bothering me. And I said something to the extent of, you seem like a smart young man. You don't need to cheat. It's not worth it. You don't need to steal a grade. You can earn it. Truth's always better. And I left him. I just said, you know, you matter to God, and you need to study the next time. Friends, we live in a world that breaks the eighth commandment in a lot of different ways. You shall not steal. Shall not steal. Here's a final aspect of it. a lot of us embezzling from God. The Bible calls it robbery. And it's going to get really quiet in here. Malachi says this, God's speaking, will anybody rob God? Yeah, you're robbing me, but you say, how are we robbing you? In your tithes and offerings. Scores of people robbing God. You know, I talk about this once in a while. People go, well, what's the tithe? Well, it means the tenth, the first tenth. You know, that we're to give it to God out of gratitude because we owe him everything, because it all belongs to him, because we're being obedient, because our Lord and Savior commands us to do that. Without God, I realize I have nothing. You know, in biblical times, they would tithe off of their crops, their livestock, their harvest. Again, that was their assets, so to speak. And they figured out that, you know, when I read their story, it's a lot like we are today. You know, how'd they embezzle? Well, what they did, they were told, God says, bring the best that you have. And so they're very sly. The Israelites looked and they kind of assessed their livestock. And they'd find the mangy livestock, the sick livestock. They'd find the very poor quality produce. And they would bring it as their offering. And they would lay that on the altar and go, here, God, this is my best stuff. And God says, no, it's not. You're robbing me. Every once in a while, I'll talk about tithing, and someone will catch me after this service, and they'll go, you know, we don't live under the Old Testament laws anymore. We live under the New Testament grace. And I'll always say, yeah, you're right. That's true. But then as we go a little further in it, at some point I'll say, you know, what gives you the idea that we're to do less because we live under God's grace? You know, friends, when you study the New Testament, we're to give with joyful hearts. We're to give with grateful hearts, cheerful hearts, generous hearts. You know, God owns it all. It all belongs to God. And unfortunately, we tend to look at our stuff, our possessions, and we think, okay, God, this is all mine. And God, I'm going to figure out what I want to give back to you. And that is one approach. I mean, that's one way you get at it. But friends, when you bow before the God that created you and you're in full surrender and everything begins to change, and I do mean everything in your life begins to change at that point, you start looking at your possessions and you think different. You know, God, it all belongs to you. It's all yours. Everything I have, you've given to me. And God, what is it that you want me to keep? What is it that you want me to give? To see that shift. It's a shift. You know, Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart is. And I wonder, where's your heart? I mean, we are to be good stewards. We're to be managers. We're to honor God with our giving. And the question is, are we doing that? Don't rob God. And so here's the implications of the eighth command, just overarching here. When you take the money and you run, or you take whatever, when you steal, when you withhold, when you deceive, when you cheat someone, when you rob someone, we damage ourselves. We damage other people, and we hurt the heart of God big time. When we steal, I'll tell you, you're going to break another command in your life, because lying always follows. It's impossible. It is impossible to steal and not lie. And when you steal, get this, you're going to pay more for the stuff that you do pay for. Because business, good business, they cover their costs. They're going to cover the security, the losses from theft. They're going to do that. And when we steal, when we rob God, Well, we hold back the development of the emerging church, the local church. We end up missing out on blessings that God's waiting to bestow on us. Ephesians says, if you've been stealing, stop. In other words, don't do it. You know, another very clear and I think profound command, and it points back to the eighth commandment Jesus is teaching. He says, if you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. But if you're dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you're untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? Friends, it's a test. It's a test. If I respond correctly, if I'm honest, if I don't steal money, if I don't steal property, if I don't steal time, whatever stuff we've talked about, if I'm God-honoring with the small things, see, I think about that little charm. Are we honest with the small things in life? If we are, then we will get the opportunity and we'll be trusted with the greater things and the greater opportunities. There's a reward in heaven someday. Real faith is not just belief, it's behavior. It's how we act. And so here's a couple real quick challenges. I challenge you to do a walkthrough in your heart. You know, just ask God to reveal to you areas where maybe you're breaking the eighth commandment. You know, your motives, your reason, your rationale, you know, why you do certain things that you do. And here's the deal. I absolutely know when you go to God and you just say, okay, God, reveal to me this stuff, God will help bring up the stuff maybe you've forgotten. In fact, God may bring up stuff that'll kind of surprise you. Here's the second thing. When you get home today, after you eat dinner or lunch, I would challenge you to walk through your house. Young people, walk through your room and assess your stuff. Assess what belongs to you and what belongs to someone else. I mean, have you done the long-term borrowing thing? You've just had it so long that it's either embarrassing to take it back or you're just like, well, they haven't missed it. So, you know, have you held something so long that it kind of has a hold on you? You know, maybe it's a tool. Maybe it's a code, a book, some cash. I don't know. I mean, has a pattern of deception kind of dominated your spirit? And here's the deal. After you identify the stuff that's yours and the stuff that's not yours, get a box and box it up and take it back to whoever it belongs to. Honor God. In other words, don't take the fifth on the eighth command. You know, just return it. Just go back to whoever and say, man, I've had this a long time. You remember loaning it to me? And here's the deal. They will remember loaning it to you probably. But just say, I want to return it. I want to be God-honoring here, you know. Again, maybe you kept something so long, maybe you've wore it out or tore it up. Well, then replace it or give them the money so they can replace it. You know, make it right. You know, maybe you need to go back to a teacher. Say, you know what, I cheated my way through your class and I don't know how I can repay that, but I want you to know it and I want to make things right. You know, maybe you got to go back to the convenience store. Say, I took a candy bar from here. It was 10 years ago, but it's always bothered me every time. In fact, I've avoided coming in here because it bothered me, but whatever. Make it right. Make it right. Let's make the eighth command come to life. Friends, this is how you mature. This is how you grow in your faith. And I know a message like this, it is really easy to kind of keep it at a distance, you know, to take and sit in the seat and go, wow, there are a lot of people stealing these days. Really bad stuff, really bad stuff. And then you walk out feeling pretty good about yourself. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Friends, allow the eighth command to rest in your mind, open your mind, your heart, your life, and then live it. I will not steal. And I will honor God by how I work, what I do, what I take, and what I don't take. I just challenge you with that. Let's bow in a word of prayer together. Our holy God, God, we praise you for who you are. And God, we thank you for your commands. We thank you for your wisdom. And God, I pray that we just own up to the stuff, whether it's we're in late and out early, or borrowing supplies, or whether we just flat out took something. God, I pray that we'd make that stuff right. God, you had amazing wisdom. God, I pray that we would be an example to the world around us, that we would be a shining light, that when people look, they go, that person's honest. God, I pray that you would mold us, that everything we say and do would be pleasing to you. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to worship this morning and sing, I Am Free. Lift your voices to God this morning.